Okay, so welcome back to the Chronic Command. And with me, I've got my good friend Carnifex. How you going, man?
Yeah, pretty good.
Been MIA for quite some time, but you're a very busy guy. I know that. So thanks again, mate, for your time to come on to the podcast to talk all about the glorious bastards we have in our Discord. So, mate, what were the highlights for you, mate, this last month or so?
It's been plenty of activity on the Discord, lots of new members, lots of new nicknames popping up and people popping photos of progress and completed armies and models. So it's been pretty cool as usual. There's a couple of things that I really liked in the last sort of couple of weeks. You have to th remember things move very quickly in the Discord, so you could probably pop in once a week and have plenty of stuff to chew through, which is really good. But it'll keep you entertained. One thing I want to mention is Clem showed off a board that him and his friends are playing a fantasy game on, and it's a very simple fantasy game board. So it's probably got like a neoprene mat underneath it, and then to peg out a fantasy farm setting, they use a variety of hobby hedges and trees, but then also to represent sort of different agricultural farms. Something that a lot of people have probably seen before is use different materials. So maybe some tufted carpet squares to represent wheat. Maybe tilled soil is just like a piece of felt. A Brillo pad or something similar to represent some sort of greens or turnips or whatever. It's very, very cool. So as far as fantasy boards go, they're generally very sparse with terrain. But this one is really clogged down with hedges and fences and sort of pillars and things like that and little hills. So it was very cool to see something like that, Clem. Cheers for always updating us on how your warband is doing. Poor Clem the Merciless. Hopefully he gets a win in.
Yeah, I liked his dwarf army that he's working on for the Call of the Crown challenge, I think it is. And he's
Yeah.
got his own miniatures sculpted by the very hands of Kev Adams at the latest of last year's Bring Out Your Lead. So it's got his face kind of thing on it. It's pretty awesome. I really like those little touches there that personalize people's armies, and sculpted by the legendary a goblin master himself. So he's got kind of like a goblin dwarf hybrid head on the Clem the Merciless, one of his Slayer models. That's pretty cool. But yeah, mate, there's so many good things going on, and like you say, it's always happening very quickly. We've got Andrew, that's Kettle Trout, with his amazing style and old hammer looking, orc and goblin and familiar looking miniatures and banners that he does, and the handmade shields and stuff like that. So there's a lot of creativity and innovation within the group as well, which is really cool to see.
Yeah, he did some sketches of Fimir. They're really impressive.
Yeah, no, they're really great. So it's not just like the top tier painters in our group, it's everybody, so a lot of people are putting in a lot of hard work and dedication to making their armies as beautiful and as presentable for the tabletop as possible. So yeah, I mean, it's just filled with lots of inspiration, which is the greatest thing. I'm looking at Mosh's, looks like he's freshly painted Bretonians, and looks like he's doing the full tilt scenario with the little tents and everything, and the whole sort of setup he's made, which I've just noticed now, which is really, really nice. So yeah, there's so much stuff on there that you tend to miss it if unless you scroll back up and check out what people have been doing and how active they've been in the community lately. So it's always great to see, very refreshing.
Yeah, there's been some cool stuff from the newer members, the Grognard or Brian. He's been doing some cool ruins and using putty and things like that to make those classic ruins you would have seen in White Dwarf 40K with pipes coming out of them and stuff like that. Really like that. Kim Nix is a bit of a deft hand at green stuff sculpting, and she's done a little 15 millimeter sci-fi guy, which is amazingly detailed for 15 millimeter, and then working on some sort of I don't know, maybe frog or slan man with a spear. Very, very cool to see. So that's just in the modeling workshop section. Really recommend you guys check that out, and especially if you're looking for inspiration on what sort of terrain to make. Obviously, I'm biased and I really like 40K, and I have to mention Jamie was showing off some original Goth Orc plastics from the second ed 40K box set, and it's gone to a lot of effort to like paint on symbols and stuff like that on the back of those Goth Orc boys. And for me, for a cheap model that you got in the base set, they've got a lot of detail on them, and then because they're orcs, you have the option to go really, really wild and put checker marks and little glyphs and stuff like that on them. So some people get really, really out of control with the amount of detail they put on them. It's always fantastic to see. I'll also mention Gene Steel Occult has been sort of something that a lot of people have been kicking around lately. So you got Moody doing them in the Cowabunga Challenge, and you'll see images of those on the Discord, which is really, really cool. And then people like Suno also showing off their Cult Limo and Magus. Sort of like brings a purple tinge tear to my eye to see so much Gene Steel Occult going on in the Discord. Very nice, guys.
Yep, no, some really cool stuff. I think the looks like the Call of the Crown is wrapped up after a 6-month challenge. So congratulations to everybody who's contributed and who's worked their butt off to produce some pretty amazing work. So I think commendations go to Old Hammer Mad Bry, another Aussie compatriot who's done this wonderful looking Beastman army, and then photographed it on, you know, with an amazing background and, you know, trees and beautiful scenic kind of display here that's showing off his fifth edition, looks like a fifth edition Beastman army, which is really, really cool. David M with his really nice looking Dark Elf force as well. He's actually got a YouTube channel called Fifth Ed, so you can check out his hobby progress and vlogs on there as well on YouTube. And he's just uploaded his first battle report, which is basically like a sixth edition skirmish with Dark Elves and Empire. There's loads of inspiration. Matthias as well with his Dark Elves that he's working on. And you can just scroll up and keep going through and just, you know, in awe of, you know, the amount of work that's being poured into these armies and all these old models and stuff, which is really, really amazing.
Yeah, some of my favorite Dark Elf stuff has been from, I hope I'm saying this correctly, Lai Kalnar. It's a person with a avatar of a, looks like Shiba Inu in a cage. But they've been doing these like fantastic Dark Elves with like really pallid skin with a purple tinge to them.
Yes.
Lots of details on the face and the armor, obviously. Really, really impressive.
Ted as well. That's Odd Gits Hut, Ted. Really big, looks like a skink, and well, it's a Lisbon force, but yeah, lots of great color. And he, I think he's got people, you know, sort of transfixed on these plants that he uses. They're like,
jungle plants, like terrain plants.
Yeah. So he's really got a nice thematic board there to represent his Lisbon on, which is really cool to see. Yeah. But yeah, I also like that particular painter's style for his Dark Elves as well. I think that's a really nice dark style that's very atmospheric. And there's a few other people like that as well. I think Wraith Wisp is another one of my favorites. He does also this sort of very dark atmospheric style and photography on his miniatures. There's Voistrin, that's Ryan, who's done a Death Skull Squadron, looks absolutely stunning. Really nice.
They're really cool.
Yeah, great non-metallic metals on them. And we've got the Phoenician, that's Jimmy, doing 15 millimeter terrain for his 40K second edition games he's playing in Sweden, which is really cool to see. Very cute. And Highland Paintings, always knocking it out the park. And also Ben, Whisking Wizards. And, you know, you can just ramble off, you know, name after name after name of really great inspirational painters out there. You know, so yeah, like, you know, look, if you're not part of a Discord, I'd urge you to come in and check it out. At least, you know, it's free. You can just jump in, and if it's not for you, you can jump out. That's no problem. But yeah, it's a really cool place to hang out and be inspired by people in our hobby. Now, Also, today's guests are also two glorious people from Bavarian, Germany, and they are part of the Dice Hammer YouTube channel. And I know Carnifex is one of their subscribers and fans of their content. So, Carnifex, how would you sum up the Dice Hammer's channel?
Two German guys in shorts play games in their basement and drink beer. I'm actually drinking a German beer now that I'm sure if I say try to pronounce it, so, like a lot of people will giggle. So something like Schoffenhofer, I don't know. It's a Hefeweiz, some sort of like
beer. Nice.
Yeah, some sort of wheat beer. It's fantastic. You gotta love it. Better than Australian beer. Bleh.
Yeah, well, anything's better than Australian beer, actually, to be honest, mate.
Yeah,
been really truthful.
Exactly. And like these guys, they play a real like big variety of games, but obviously, as I mentioned before, I'm biased. I love the 40k second ed stuff. Yep. They do everything from tiny little skirmish games, which are actually pretty exciting because they can go either way with some bad dice rolls. They've played campaigns, like proper campaigns, like the Dark Vengeance, like between the Dark Angels and the Orcs, which is really crazy. They've done their own campaign where like a randomly like a warp portal appears on the board and you've got to like rush towards it and essentially take and hold it, like Codex Wars and things like that. Variety of terrain, everything from like snow and like sort of more traditional like cardboard fortresses that you would have got in White Dwarf. So I'm always happy to see it. And, you know, I bug everyone who does a second ed battle report on YouTube by constantly like mentioning rules that they've stuffed up and things like that. I'm like a real irritant to people. So, but these guys do really well. I really enjoy it. And I love their style.
Yeah, no, they're great guys. I really had a great talk with them today in this interview. So I hope you guys enjoy it. So yeah, and please, I urge you to go and check out their YouTube channel. Go and check out their content.
Yeah, well, look, what keeps us all going is people like Dice Hammer who make content for us that we can view and enjoy. It's like sit back and enjoy when we've got spare time. So thanks for all the content creators. Thanks to all the people in the Discord who even just show us work in progress pics. Like, it doesn't matter what it is, or if you don't think it's great, we want to see it because someone will like it.
Yep, absolutely. We should do more of a community spotlight on someone out there, another glorious bastard out there in the community doing some pretty awesome work, either as a YouTuber, podcaster, just an individual, just doing some really awesome stuff, inspiring other people.
Maybe a bloke called Cutter who seems to have a huge orc and goblin army.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, there you go. Okay. I'll have to highlight his stuff at some point during one of our next live streams. Please check out the live stream we did last weekend, which was really fun. It was me, GM Cody, and Kent Fury talking all about 40K Second Edition, coming back into it, how to get into it if you're new to Second Edition 40K, and if you had played in the 90s and you're wanting to get back into it, what would be the best way? So we try to give you the best tips and advice as we can. And then we talk about the BDAB system at the end. So if you haven't seen it, go and check out that on my YouTube channel, the Crown of Command Games, in the live section. But if you did you catch the interview at all, mate? Did you listen to it?
I did, and I think that the main message of that whole live stream is don't be a dick.
Yeah, I think try to emphasize
it was really good.
A lot of times, yeah.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. It was fun. So it was great. And I'm glad that Kent got to get that off his chest. You know, some things that's been building up over time about second edition.
Oh, yeah.
Really funny.
I won't mention specifics, but he does mention like some very dirty tactics someone used, and straight away on the second ed Facebook group, there was discussions about what had happened and if he can even do that. So it's very funny.
Yeah, it's good that this controversial topic has brought a lot of people out, and you know, people are just voicing their opinions, you know, either for or against the DBAD system. So it's got not divided the community, but it's certainly made it a little bit more controversial, and people are being very opinionated about how they feel about it. So that's good. It's good to have a bit of a discussion about that and what they think. But it's just, you know, like I said, it's just, you know, Kent's tournament structure that he uses and his club at Newcastle Legions for his games that he organizes. I mean, if you wanted to play just pure second edition with all the, warts and all, then go for it. But if you want to play something that's alternative and try something new, then it's not such a big diversion from the original game anyway. It's just a few streamlined little set rules that allow more friendlier lists, basically, and more tactical play. I think that's what he's trying to emphasize there after being a long-term player of second edition 40K.
I would highly recommend you give it a whirl.
Yeah. So links for that DBAT system can be found in the second edition Facebook group. And so I'll leave a link here in the show notes for the podcast if you want to check that out. And yeah, and again, you go and check out the live stream. Hear it from the man himself. He won't hold back. And that's what I like about Ken. I respect him totally for that. He doesn't care. I mean, he doesn't care who he's going to offend or, who's going to upset. He's just going to let it out and say how he feels. That's great. That's the Aussie spirit. That's what I love about Aussies.
Very.
Okay, mate. All right. Well, look, I won't hold you up any longer, Carnifex. I know you need to get to bed, mate, before you need to work tomorrow. So until the next time, my friend, look, stay safe and enjoy your second ed. And it's good to see you playing the Gene Stealer Cult 2 recently as well. Yeah.
Yeah, managed scraped a win. Very lucky. Could have been completely obliterated by orcs. You got to be careful. They've got a vicious firepower.
Well, I can't wait to play you in person, mate, with my orcs at some point against your Gene Stealer Cult. That would be a lot of fun.
Cool.
But until then, mate, take it easy, and I'll catch you again next time.
Yep, I'll see you around. Ciao.
Thank you so much again for coming onto the Crown of Command.
Thanks for being invited.
Oh, no, my pleasure. My pleasure, guys. So you're the men behind the Dice Hammer podcast, Dice Hammer YouTube channel, sorry. And you both are from Bavaria, is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, great. Okay, and I think it's a wonderful story that you started off playing Warhammer 40,000 second edition when you were young, and you've come back to play it again later in life. So I really wanted to get you on to talk about your hobby history. I mean, how did you get into gaming and tabletop miniatures and that kind of thing? Marcus, would you like to start us off?
To be honest, we didn't come back to Warhammer 40K second edition. We've been playing it for the last 30 years.
Really? Wow, okay.
Whenever we entered a Games Workshop and talked to the staff, they told us, well, the present edition is the one which is closest to the old second edition one. Just try it out and buy some stuff and stuff like that. But we never played another edition. It was a lifelong bond with the product. I was into fantasy and science fiction. And one day at the age of, let's say, maybe 15, I bought a box of a Star Quest, which was the German edition of Space Crusade, I think. And I bought the add-ons, the expansion sets. And then somebody told me this was just part of a complete universe of a game of its own, which was sold in Britain. And then about 1 year later, my parents wanted me to do a youth exchange, and I went to Britain for 3 weeks. And during my time there, I found the first Games Workshop, and I was really fascinated. And it was then the lifelong bond with their products. And I never wanted to do or buy anything else. I still remember the first blisters. I bought the Chaos Terminator Captain, the one with the huge sword back then, a blister of Warp Spiders, and a Deathwing Terminator Squad, and a box of tactical plastic Space Marines, because back then I thought these were just kind of additional forces for my copy of Star Quest. And it was really exciting because I also, during the 3 weeks in our guest family, there were two trips to London. And during these two trips, I spent the whole day looking for books on Warhammer 40K. And somebody told me back then you didn't have mobile phones and stuff like that, that there was a second-hand bookshop in a completely other district of London where I might get them. So I spent several hours on the tube asking people for directions and stuff like that. And when I arrived there, I really got a copy of Space Marine and Death Wing.
Oh wow, nice. Fantastic, mate. That's great. And do you both live like close to each other in your hometown?
Yeah, nowadays, yes. Of course, not the last 30 years. When we were pupils back then, of course, we live in the same town, but we started our study in the same city as well. But after that, I think I moved to other towns and Marcus as well. But I think now, for the last 5 to 10 years, we are both living in the same town once again.
Oh, right. You've been reunited. So, Alex, do you have a very similar story to Marcus in terms of finding Games Workshop games with StarQuest?
No, to be honest, not. I came first in contact with Games Workshop products in my school time. And at a Jahr, I played some kind of role play. I don't know if the system is now known outside of Germany, because it's called Das Schwarze Auge, the Black Eye. And it's a German company which produced the game. And I'm coming from the role play community. And I think I was about 16, 15, 16, when a friend of mine brought some Citadel catalogs back in school, and we scrolled them beneath the table during the lessons. And there I saw the first time Space Marines and Elder and stuff like that. And then this was a group, I think, of 3 or 4 people, including Marcus. And then we really started getting into the game.
Excellent. And 30 years later, you're still playing it. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, but to be honest, it was a really period of time between or within these 30 years where we didn't actually play that much.
But just, but we still kind of spend a lot of time painting stuff, especially Alex. I stopped for about, took a 20 years off painting, but still were into 40K or the universe, read lots of books, bought stuff, even newer stuff, and then and played a lot of computer games.
Yeah, exactly. Dawn of War, and I didn't know exactly. It was some kind of
Dark Omen
hex-based game. Mm-hmm. Where I think it was Elder against the Imperial Guard. Mm-hmm. Not Final Liberation. I can't remember the exact name, but we played really a lot of computer games focused on the GW.
Was it Rites of War?
Yeah, Rites of War. Yeah. Maybe you heard of it.
I've heard of it.
Final Liberation.
Final Liberation, yeah. It was some kind of epic-based computer game. And we even started playing Warhammer Fantasy back then. I think it was the 5th edition. Yes. It was the box game with the Bretonians and Lizardmen or Skaven on the title. And but I started with Orcs and Goblins and Marcus with Wood Elves. And we bought a lot of stuff back then and went to a convention and played our first game there. Uh-huh. And there were about 10 to 12 people at the table, and everyone was talking to us. Ah, you have to move there. Look at this. It was so frightening almost that we never played fantasy from this point on. So we put our armies in the cupboard and just discovered them maybe 3 to 4 years ago.
Yeah, it was kind of really disappointing and frustrating, because we were advised by 12-year-olds. We hadn't read the rules properly, so we tried a mixture of what we thought the fantasy rules really were and Warhammer 40K rules. So it ended up in a complete mess, and I boxed my wood elves for about at least 20 years, but luckily I didn't sell them, because right now it would be difficult to get them, these beautiful old ones, back. And you have sold...
Yeah, I sold my Orcs and Goblins back then, because I
had no point in keeping them because we never played fantasy again.
And about 5 years ago, you told me you'd sold the magic box because we don't play it at all or didn't play it.
Yeah, back in the fifth edition, there was this set red colored magic Warhammer magic box for the fantasy universe, and I sold it back 5 years ago.
And then I sold the main box.
Yeah.
And about 3 years ago, Alex said it would be a great idea to get back into Warhammer Fantasy because many people sold the
The
completely
armies, yeah.
wonderfully painted armies because the eighth edition was
Well, the
the
last
final
edition
one.
supported by Games Workshop because they replaced it with AOS. And I think it was a good time to get back into it because there were lots of stuff which you could get really cheap 5 years ago about.
And I have to admit, the idea that there's a final edition and you won't have to buy the next add-on and add-on and the next version and edition of rule books really appealed to me. So I said, okay, let's do some test games. And it took us quite a long time. We were really grateful for every eighth edition video, which could be found on the internet by then, because when we started, we had to read page by page in order to get at least the rules for our first two armies. You came back with the vampire counts. I still had my wood elves, and then it was still a lot of time for the basic rules and the army rules. And even now we do lots of mistakes.
That's excellent, guys. I'm really glad you found your love for fantasy again after all these years, and you gave it another shot. And I know you played a lot of eighth edition on your channel. Any chance of you playing any of the earlier editions, like fifth edition, coming back to the old haunt of fifth edition?
We would like to do so, but at the moment we are still struggling to get the eighth edition stuff done correctly. I think we would need a kind of gaming group. Unfortunately, our old one has split up after school because the four to five of us went to completely different places. One of us, our first orc player, went to Great Britain, went to Scotland, then to London, and now I think it's back to Scotland. And maybe if we meet others, once we've been invited, we were invited to a kind of tournament near Erlangen-Höchstädt, was it?
Yeah, about 100 kilometers from our current position.
And then it's a great atmosphere if you've got four, five, or even eight other players who can give you a piece of advice and know older stuff or stuff we did wrong. Under these circumstances, I think we'd be grateful to try out older editions.
Wonderful. I hope that's the case because, yeah, I love all your second edition content, especially. Now, as you said, you've never stopped playing second edition for all these years, but you sort of took a dip and you sort of stopped playing for a while. But I did notice you have a lot of unpainted miniatures in your
Yeah.
videos, famously so.
Truckloads of them. Alex, I'm rather lazy. During the time we didn't actually play, it was because both of us had smaller apartments. We were in the same town, but we didn't have a kind of room to put up a table tennis set or stuff like that. And during this time, Alex kept on painting and painting and painting. And even did some kind of professional painting, watching videos on painting, buying lots of colors and trying new techniques and stuff like that. I didn't paint anything, and so there were truckloads of older minis. And when I started, I was a keen painter, and everything had to be exactly. The red of the eye in the eye and not on the cheek or stuff like that. So even back then, it took me at least 1 week to do a model properly. One, I've kept some of my old models. The Inquisitor and the Imperial Assassin were among the first of them. I gave some of them to Alex because I had Blood Angels back then, one of my first armies. And
now, having come back after 20 years of escape, I'm still the same kind of fainting guy. I could move on quite faster, but I said, no, let's come back. Oh, there's still, I have to recolor it, and I don't like this tone. I think I'll redo it and stuff like that. And so I have asked for help and found the first one. It was an ad on Facebook, and I've even phoned this guy. He was very, very nice, but was honest and told me I do kind of different stuff and different games. I wouldn't like to get into your kind of stuff. And so I kept looking, and I found somebody closer to us who's from Munich. And I phoned, it's Patrick, and I phoned him, and I think he's a one-man company, and it was really great. I showed him some pictures and then sent my stuff to him, and these are the orcs, because orcs are an army. You need many
Lots of
more
friendship.
than five models, and despite all my efforts, because I've been painting orcs for the last nearly 12 months, I've only got about 15 models completed. So I sent about 30 of them, including two vehicles, to Patrick. And within less than a week, he's already got pictures of the painted minis on his homepage. And the parcel is in transit, is being delivered back to me right now. I've already seen pictures. It's great. I think this painting partnership will help us to get at least, as you might know, we've got some standard lists of 1,000 points, 1,500, 2,000 for our fantasy and second edition stuff. And this should help me to get at least the small army blocks for fast games during maybe even under the week or at the weekend ready.
Yeah, I really enjoyed your tournament, like a tournament series. You did like very small games, facing like you did almost like a lottery where you'd have all the different lists. And I think that's some of your very first videos. I really enjoyed that initial series you did. And I think it's right to say that you have every single army for second edition.
I suppose so. As even Marcus even got the old squads, which are really, really nice miniatures. I like them really a lot, but unfortunately, I think it's the army which is completely unpainted. Or is there
Yeah,
some maybe one, two miniatures
completely.
is painted? But I think it's quite difficult, especially the squads, because they're so small and our eyes are getting worse and worse by every year. So it's all it gets every time more difficult to paint the miniatures. But the squads is a really cool army. And I got back then, I bought the old Necron Warriors, and I've got three of the old Destroyers and the Scarabs. But the Necrons are really easy to paint, in my opinion. I just prime them in black and then dry brush them with some metallics, and here and there some dots of maybe blue or red, and it's finished.
Have you actually finished
But yes, you are right. We all,
painting
yeah, you are right. But we have, I
them?
think, almost every army now in our asset.
Now, have you actually
The only
finished painting?
problem.
Have you actually finished painting the Necron army, Alex? Have you finished painting?
Completely. One destroyer is still to paint,
Oh, that's good.
and three scarabs.
Great. Okay, you're making some good progress then. That's great. Fantastic.
But at the moment, I'm painting five Wraith Guards of the Elder, because in our 2,000 points army list, I think there's a squad of five Wraith Guard. That's my actual project. And we might need them for our great, maybe it's really the final one. Good versus evil, Elder versus Chaos Cult is a kind of series. We haven't created a playlist of its own yet, but there have already been several minor battles against the Sisters of Battle, Imperial Guard, Inquisition, Dark Angels. And last time, one of them still survived, the Magus, and the Bloodthirster, I think. So we'd like to do a really large final, maybe 2,500 or maybe even 3,000 points of Chaos Cultists or maybe even demons against the Elder.
Wow, that'd be huge. Actually, a huge game. Yeah, I particularly like the Cauldron of Blood you have for your Chaos army. I think it's a armor cast model. Yeah, I really like those kind of things. Yeah, they're great.
It was gifted to me by Market, I think. I think he
Oh.
gifted it me almost 10 years ago or 15 years ago to some birthday. And it's a really cool model. And we really had a lot of Amaka stuff because we began to buy the first ones of them. It was around 2002. Nobody liked to play them because they weren't real official Games Workshop products. And then I sold the first Orc tanks. Later on, I bought some Stompers. Alex bought two or three Elder Titans, even the largest one.
The Phantom Lord, huh?
And I
Oh,
had a great Gargant as well. But around 3 or 4 years ago, I sold many of them because, to be honest, I've had them for about 20 years and haven't even assembled them yet. The chances of painting them or using them one day were really slim. So I said, I'd better sell them to somebody who really works some paint wonders on them and maybe takes them to a tournament.
that'd be
Yeah,
wonderful.
especially mostly larger armor cast miniatures are rather, in my opinion, display miniatures because especially the huge titans are such overpowered. I think you didn't have a chance to harm them. And if both armies have one titan and the first titan falls, then I think the remaining titan will vaporize the army completely. But we've kept some small ones.
Yeah.
Alex has got a cool elder, I think it's called Warlock Titan. What is it?
It's the smallest one now. I think it's the Wraith Lord.
It looks like he's got a sword over his slung over his shoulder, or was it kind of.
Yeah, maybe we play with this one because it's really a, I think it's, you can call it upgraded Dreadnought maybe. It's a little bit better characteristics, a little bit better armor values. But I think it's a fair chance you can knock him down with some less cannons, for example.
Excellent. And you've got one for, I think you've got one for the Tyranids too, haven't you? There's one for the Tyranid. Of course you do.
I've kept several smaller ones.
Yeah.
So the largest one I've got left, I've sold my Reaver Titan, but I've got a Warhound left for the Imperial Forces, and I've got several Tyranid and Orc tanks left. And I hope to do at least one of these Orc tanks myself, because one of these Gobsmashers is already painted. There's another one, a scratch built one, because in one of the White Dwarfs there was a kind of a scheme how you which you could use to build one. And I've got at least one, probably two or three of each of the three Tyranid ones. They look great. I like the
Yeah.
models. And I think I painted one or two of them myself, and there are at least one or two others which are painted. But they are not for competitive games. They look great.
Yeah, they
I think
do.
it's the Exoprime you painted by yourself. And you have a Malefactor And hollow
and
specs.
Harrow Specs. I think these were the three published for the Tyranid forces. But they actually came with that when you bought those kits, they actually came with a data fax sheet. You actually had rules and everything.
I still have got some of the boxes. These were white boxes, and there was a horrible white and black print on them showing
That's
the
right.
mini and blah blah USA and so on. And there were green polystyrene stuff or flakes around them to protect them. And then there was a folded data fax included, which was already folded so much that you could barely read. And even the pictures were horrible because in one of these sets I found extra Waggle cards for Orc Waggles.
All right.
But back then the art of photocopying was so bad that they were mainly black. And I uploaded them to the second edition book on a group on Facebook, which is really great. And I think Ergo Fog who asked me, man, where are they from? Because they look so unprofessional.
Well, it doesn't get more unprofessional than 1991 or whenever they were released back in the US when they had those up there. It's amazing there's any print on them at all because usually photocopies fade to nothing. You know, there's nothing left after so many years. But yeah, it's always interesting to see those on the tabletop when you play them because I've never seen them on the table ever. I mean, my friend
Okay.
Marcus has, I think, a Revenant Titan for Elder, and I know he's got now a Warlock Titan, I think, as well, maybe. But yeah, I've never seen them actually played in second edition, so it's been quite fascinating to see them as like a centerpiece model, or people actually using them in games. So, and much is the joy of 3D printing that you can do that now. You can get these bigger, larger kits and use them in games if you wanted to. But then, I play Epic. I play Epic Scale. Have you guys ever tried Epic Space Marine?
No, we would have liked to do so, but as there are only the two of us left out of our traditional gaming group, everybody had to own at least six or seven or eight different armies. If that had been the original five of us, everybody maybe would have owned a 40K, a fantasy army, an epic army, or stuff like that. But as it is, our shelves are crammed with 40K second edition stuff and some newer stuff, and our five, or in your case, six fantasy armies lately.
I was going to say, do you guys actually play any other games apart from Second Edition and Warhammer Fantasy 8th Edition? Are there any other games you play that you don't film?
But to be honest, not very often. I bought a couple of years ago. It's also a miniature war game. It's called Freebooters Fate.
Oh, yeah.
It's I think a German company who developed this game, and it's mainly focused on a pirate setting. So you play rather a skirmish game. So you have a small band of about five, six, seven pirates. But with a little bit touch of fantasy, so there are goblins, goblin pirates, and so on. And I think we played it once or twice, but never filmed it. And I also own some Blood Bowl teams, but actually we never. I think you didn't even played it. I played it with some other guys, Blood Bowl, but we never played it for the channel up to now.
I was interested, but I haven't read the rules yet. And basically, I think you've got most of the teams, or even
No, not
no,
much, much. I have the
or some different ones.
a
So
human
could
team, a
you
orc team, the
vampires?
no, not vampires,
Okay.
dark elves. So basically, I've had three teams: the human team, the Orcland Raiders, I think they're called, and the dark elf team, the Naggaroth Nightmares.
Yep, I think that's what
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Yep. Okay, cool. That's good. Okay. Well, at least at some point you can give Blood Bowl a try. The third edition of Blood Bowl, I think, is the most characterful. The 90s, 1993 version, I think it was. That's a very cool edition. So now looking at 40K second edition, as I know is that your probably your favorite game?
Yeah, that's right.
And what are your favorite armies do you like to play?
I like them all.
Spoil for
This
choice.
is one of the hardest questions to answer, because if somebody asked me if I was allowed to keep only one single army, I'd probably spend the next 15 years thinking about which one it would be. I like them so much.
I was going
Because for me, it's maybe the Elder, because I put really a great effort in painting the Expectorias the last years, and therefore it's at the moment my favorite army. And to be honest, I think
The
it's
most
most.
beautiful one, and I think you won't need any new models because you can't make them look much better than them. Even Mark Gibbons' artwork is
Incredible, yeah.
absolutely the best stuff, and the models designed to this artwork are so, I think you can't look at it and say, oh, it's kind of old-fashioned, and the newer one looks much better.
Well, they really stand the test of time, in my opinion. To be honest, the new Expectorias, which GW published, I think they
Look a little more dynamic, but
look a little more dynamic, but I really they fit quite close to the older models, in my opinion. If you compare it to the old Space Marines and the Primaris, which are really a great difference in size and so on. And I think the new Expectorias are re really close to the old ones, in my opinion. The new Striking Scorpions or the other stuff.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, I really like your Elder painted army, Alex, and I think it looks really nice. And it, Alex, is it your Dark Angel army you feature on the channel too? Is it yours? The
No,
Dark
the Dark Angel army is from Marcus.
Marcus, I really like that. I think it's a really nicely painted army. I really like that a lot.
And maybe you can tell the story behind last one. We presented our Orc player with the Storm of Vengeance box set as a back then in the 90s during our time at university. And then I had to, because we planned to play it, then I really had to spend university break, I think 3 months painting Dark Angels every day. And I managed to do the five most important characters, the Captain, Psyker, Tech Marine, Naaman for this one, and the Chaplain, as well as four squads. I had Scouts, Tactical Marines, Devastators, and Assault Marines. And I really painted them according to the codex with the squad markings, army badge, and chapter markings and stuff like that. Took quite a lot of time. And I even did the Dreadnought and the Razorback. And these are really painted back in the 90s by
Yeah.
Marcus, the Dark Angels.
But they were among the last models I painted before the long gap.
No, that they certainly stood the test of time. I think they look really fantastic in terms of like the entire cohesive look of the army. It looks really, really nice. Do you actually
Thanks.
have any of your old paints from the 90s, the old Citadel hex pots? Do you have those?
I've got many of my really old ones, the round ones. Then the others are
The
maybe hex
hexadrama.
pots, with colors like blazing orange. And I bought some completely new ones. I didn't find a cool replace. I haven't found a cool replacement for snake bite leather yet, which I would have needed for my orcs, for orcs 16 to 20, which I still have to do. But together with the force I sent to Patrick to Silver Ear Painting, I think I should have between 500 and maybe even 1500 points for our usual levels of points we play. And I'm really looking forward to seeing painted orcs against Alex's beautifully painted Elder Army. And maybe Alex has, it was during Corona, has succeeded in doing a 2500 point Imperial Guard army. I own a really huge one, but I haven't painted a single, I've painted one Psyker. Yeah,
Hooray.
but that's the only model out of these nine platoons. And
Yeah.
Alex has got a really cool painted,
It's a cottage and jungle fighter themed army.
Oh, cool.
With you've got riders as well, Rough Riders and
Oh, but
Rattlings.
I think we never used them in games yet. I painted the five Etelin Rough Riders, yeah. But yeah, I think we never used them in games so far.
There would be a cool opponent against 1,500 points of orcs, maybe one day.
But for me, I don't have any of the old paints, to be honest. I think I, during some movement in the past, I think I threw them away because most or some of them were tried out, and I thought, okay, let's put them into the trash bin. And I only use newer paints. But with one exception, it's a newer paint, but actually, I don't know the company, but it's from Greece or Crete.
War colors.
They are producing, it's called nostalgia paint or some kind like that. And they're really producing the old stuff. It's really similar.
Yeah,
Yeah,
war.
exactly those ones.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is it, Marcus.
I
This is
bought a couple of them here.
it's snake bite leather.
Ah, that's the one I need far away.
There you go. It's called
Yeah.
serpent bite leather now. Serpent bite leather.
Okay.
I'll send you a link to War Colors, and then you can get that paint.
War colors, exactly. Yeah. That's the company's name. Yeah. Thanks.
No,
Well,
no problem.
I had the impression that if you store them upside down at medium temperature, and if there's a lot of content left within these pots, they survive for 20 or 30 years. There's a problem with the metallic ones because they are probably bolt gun metal. They are probably of another consistency.
These are the old round ones you're talking about. Yeah, still perfect. Nothing wrong with them.
And I've got about 20 of them left.
Oh wow, that's good, mate. Yeah, some vintage paint. Yeah, almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take
We're
a quick.
also very grateful.
Yeah, I bet. We're going to take a very quick advertisement break, and when we come back, we can talk more about second edition and your love of the armies and your maybe your favorite models next minute. So we're back in just a moment.
If you are enjoying this podcast and the content on the Crown of Command Games YouTube channel, then please consider supporting me on Patreon. So check out patreon.com/ the Crown of Command podcast.
Yeah, so serpent bite leather. That's what you need, Marcus, this one. And then, yeah, Alex can show you which website it is and how to get them, okay?
Yeah.
So, and then
I think they really are quite a good match.
Yeah, they're very good. And the Vallejo game color range is also a very good match for old school paints, you know? So they've got very vibrant colors, very rich colors. So, and but yeah, I've got a lot of the war color stuff, and it's pretty good. It's not bad at all. Yeah, so give them a go.
Yeah,
give them a try. Yeah,
but yeah, I've also have colors from different companies, from Vallejo or from AK Interactive,
yeah,
or Citadel, of course. So it's a mixture. It's not a single brand I use. I think there are colors which are better from this company and other colors from the other. So I think it's really personal choice which colors you use. I think you can't say that this color is best. It's maybe for me best, but I think everyone has to figure it out for himself.
And back then I even bought some paints because they were really cheap. I got some Ichor. During my time at university, I was looking for a color for the Imperial Guard basic Prime or stuff like that. And there was a company called Ichor, I think, and I still have one or two pots of them because I used them for my Dark Elder, which I like very much. They were not an official second edition race. They came out at the end. It was between second and third edition, but I like the model so much. And the one codex we found on the internet is really matches the other ones.
Yes, I've seen those featured on your channel. So the Dark, yeah, you said the Dark Elder, they came out just at third edition, didn't they? So did they actually get any kind of White Dwarf rules for second edition at all?
No, I think the last ones which got rules were the Necron, because
the Necron Raiders.
Destroyer, Necron Destroyer was featured.
The Necron Lord, the Warriors, and the Scarabs. And I think the first White Dwarf published for the third edition came out with a Cabalite Warrior on the
plastic model. Yeah.
It's a gift. I think it was the starting box, Dark Elder versus Space Marines for the third edition. And so they didn't see any rules, official rules for the second edition.
Yep, you're right. That's right. Yeah, exactly. Wow, that's going back a long time ago. Now, looking at your armies and looking at all the miniatures, what is your favorite miniature, do you think, in your range or in the whole, like if you just think about second edition 40K, maybe you have it already, maybe you don't have it already, maybe it's on your wish list. What's your favorite miniature?
One of Alex's models I like very much is the Slaanesh Champion on a snake tail. I think it's a fantasy model as well. It's not a 40K model only. I think he's got more than two arms. I think he's got two arms with swords and one with a finger pointing and a ring or stuff like that. It's a really cool one.
Yeah, it's really a difficult question because there's so many great miniatures. But if I have to name one, I'd like maybe most my old Chaos Terminator Captain. It's a miniature which I got, I think, gifted from Marcus, or
the one I bought in Britain, I think.
Ah, okay. And it's the old one with, I think, with some power claw and a demon sword in the other hand. And I think it was the first Chaos Space Marine I painted by myself. So, and it's a really nice miniature, I think.
Wonderful. Now, what's on your wish list this year? Like in terms of if you're going to think about purchasing miniatures to expand your armies, what's on your miniature radar this year?
I'd rather like to get some stuff painted than bought. But I've got, I think I bought for Warhammer Fantasy 20 flatulence to be waiting to be painted. I've got the pistoliers waiting to be painted, and there are some really large minis in my wood elves army left. I've already mentioned I'd like to send another parcel to Patrick with my squads, because they're another quite iconical second edition army. And if I do another one, it'll be probably the wood elves, because I've got some Falcon Riders left and lots of the cool old, I think they are fourth or fifth edition, and I think they might be Harlequin, the spearmen. And there was an old box which said Scarlock's archers, so around maybe 18 of them, and they'd be a great addition to my forces. But there are always single newer models which I like, which are saying, man, this would be a great addition to our old second edition stuff. And sometimes, especially in case of the Skaven, when you see something on the internet and say, wow, I really need to have this old one. And back then, these were really cool models, because there were several single piece metal models which can't break or get stuck or stuff like that.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, for me, I would like to add, I've got a small Frateris militia band for the Sisters of Battle, those old metal miniatures. And I'd like to add some Frateris militia with heavy stubbers, but they were never published, of course. But I found some old Necromunda miniatures. Maybe the Asher girl with the heavy stubber, or Goliath fighter with a heavy stubber. I think they would fit quite nicely to the Fratres militia from the size and from the appearance. So I try to get some of these maybe this year on the internet.
Wonderful. And what's on the painting table? I know Marcus has sent off his miniatures to a painter over there in Germany, but Alex, do you paint?
Actually, I'm painting my Wraith God
Oh.
for the Elder Range, and of course, then I have a lot of options after that. What's missing from my Elder army is still the Rangers. I just painted one Elder Ranger, and I've got the old metal models, and I think there were seven or eight different ones, and I've got one model each. So that would probably next, and I think then I have almost finished at least the squads of the Elder Army. Then there are only the Phoenix Lords missing and some Exarchs, and I think then it's finished. I think maybe the Elder Rangers would be after the Wraith God next.
Awesome. Marcus, are you
And
going
then I'm looking forward to continuing the work on my Khorne army and the Dark Elder, while I hope Patrick will do some of the work on my wood elves, which are really delicate minis, and my squads. And afterwards, there's so much left. I haven't even thought about spending time on the Space Wolves, my Imperial Guard, and my Elder, because Alex has got a beautifully painted Elder army. So if that okay, come on, it's no hurry.
And who inspires you out there on the internet, like maybe a YouTube channel or someone on the internet that really inspires you to keep going with your battle reports, keep making these videos, keep playing 40K Second Edition? Anybody out there that really motivates you at all?
Yeah, the three channels which motivated us most during all these years were your channel, of course, Crown of Command. Then Bring and Battle is another great one, and Second Edition Wargaming. They don't have many games or videos, but all of them are high end if it comes to terrain painting and the models themselves. And
But there are lots of other channels. I think Bunker Wargaming or Bunker Gaming,
this
they're
was,
playing often fantasy.
yeah, and the Scandinavian Warhammer Fantasy
Miscast
miscast.
table or Miscast. Yeah, there are so many channels. It's really incredible if you compare it to former times where you were on your own or maybe meet some people on conventions, but now you can just open the browser and found so many other great channels that you, and if you subscribe them all, I was a few times in holidays, and when you come back, you have 90 new videos which you can view probably. So it's really awesome, the content which you can consume.
No, it's good, isn't it? It's good. It's great that people are making some great content out there for Second Edition and some of these older games. Yeah, I hope like Ed at Minisodes does great videos as well. And yes,
Yeah.
I really like the Second Ed Wargaming channel. I really like his Space Fleet battle videos. I think they're fantastic. So I think maybe he's coming back to show some new videos with his new Eldar army he's painted up.
Yeah. And he showed a pic in the second edition group. It was I showed it to you around months ago of a huge squad force assembled. So I thought, wow, this would be a match up the Elder, the Altair against the squads.
Yeah, it sounds like he has a lot of models in his collection, actually, that he's collected over the years since the 90s. And of course, yeah, Rich and Jason at Bring and Battle do a great battle reports, a lot of fun. So it's nice. We're living in a good time now for second edition, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe there's more people playing it now than there ever was. Or I'm playing more games than I ever did when I played in the 90s. So it's a good time to be around and getting into it. So yeah, great guys. Now, also about White Dwarf magazine. Now, when it was released in Germany, you had a different edition. It sort of reset down to number one, two, three, and that kind of
Yeah.
thing. Did you experience White Dwarf in Germany at some point?
Yeah, they were really great. I still remember owning a copy of Citadel Miniatures catalog, and this together with the White Dwarfs were sources of inspiration. We've spent lots of lessons just looking at the minis under our desks. We were looking at the minis in bed and thinking, when shouldn't I start this army, or which mini can I buy next with the money Grandma gives me for Christmas or stuff like that? And there are many pictures I have still on my mind, even pictures of Terra, which I saw there for the first time. That's the great thing about this universe. Back then, when I was a child and a cool movie ended, I thought, well, that's it. Now you're back to reality. But Warhammer 40K never ends. Yeah. Even after you've finished a battle report, it's still on your mind, and you think, okay, next time, Alex, next week, bring along another 500 points, or maybe add a dreadnought or a librarian. Yeah, and but you're right. There was a separate German numbers for the German White Dwarf, but I think our fantasy shops always have both editions available, so you can choose which to buy. And I have, I think, about 12, 13 issues still at home from the 90s, some German and some in English. And they're really, I don't know, I've read them maybe twice, thrice, but you always scroll the pages, and those great guys, Adrian Wood and
Yeah.
Jervis Johnson, and how they're called, and their battle reports. And it's really
Mike
great.
McLee
Yeah.
was a painter back
Yeah.
then.
And it's a really great inspiration. If you see the pictures and the paint jobs back then. And I also, if you just mentioned Mike Wee, I think he published a book, second edition, 40K painting. The painting guide, and it's really a great book as well, even today, because it's very in-depth explanation of how to mix colors and fade out colors and highlighting and so on and so forth. It's really a great book.
Yeah, now talking about terrain, you have quite a unique terrain set up with your ice table, like it's an Antarctic, all styrofoam terrain on a white sheet or something. It's quite something. I've never seen anything like it. But you always come up with some interesting sort of table setups when you play second edition.
I think the Ice Terror, I think we started, it was back then during university. I think it's almost 20 years old. My girlfriend and me moved to a really, it was really a hovel. It was bad, but there was a huge garden. And within the garden, there were garages which couldn't be used because of a fence preventing cars from entering the property. And so therefore we bought lots of polystyrene and even spent 20 euros maybe back then on a polystyrene knife, and then started to do the ice and desert terra we still own. And we had a kind we already had painted tables back then. But during moving from one place to another, we threw them away probably. And one of the sides was painted in yellow for our Desert Terra, whereas the other one was painted white for our Ice Terra. Because of the loss of these pieces of wood, we just moved on to using blankets, which are much cheaper and easy to transport. But originally, we planned to do some painting and even highlighting our Ice Terra during summer, maybe.
This summer we plan to schedule some days for painting or
Or doing other, because we've bought a lot of Terra recently. I still remember it's 3D printed stuff. I remember having bought a really cool Dark Elder tower, which we could use in fantasy as well as in 40K as a watchtower, and a corn-like gate, and two official Games Workshop buildings. One of them is kind of an elder, a portal with a waterfall is going the wrong way, and the other one looks like a dragon's cave. There are dragon's heads, and there's a cave beneath it. But we'll have to paint all of it one day. We'll have to paint it in summer while I'm watching you drinking a beer.
And are you playing 40K Second Edition today? Of
But
course.
only a short game, a 400 points Corehammer game, because tomorrow I have to leave for 1 week to Denmark. So actually, I have not too much time today, but we play a short game after this.
It's kind of disappointing. We wanted to do 2,000 points of Chaos versus Chaos, Khorne and Nurgle against Slaanesh and Tsinj, but it would have taken too long. We basically have to play right now. Then I'll do the video, take it to Alex, and he'll try to upload it before leaving for Scandinavia tomorrow in the morning.
Okay, well, I don't want to keep you guys waiting. I thank you so much again for coming onto the Chronic Man podcast. I really appreciate the time, and I want you guys to have a great game. That's what it's all about. But thank you very much.
Thanks for your time.
No, my pleasure. Thank you very much for sharing your story. It's been fascinating. I'm really glad that you guys have had a friendship over 30 years playing second edition 40K, and you never argue about it. That's amazing.
That's after the
Okay, that's good.
We can't argue because otherwise we won't have anybody left to
Yeah,
blame.
exactly. Yeah. You can't pack up your models and go home and say, I'm never playing with you again. And it's impossible, isn't it? Yeah, no, it's good. No, you guys play with a good spirit. I really enjoy your videos and long may share. Hopefully, they will continue for a long time in the future. And I'm sure you've got some great stuff planned for terrain and armies and getting stuff painted. I'd love to look forward to the Orc army when it's finished, when it comes back from the commission painter. And yeah, and just in closing, guys, thank you very much for coming on today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, see you.